Oh, let's keep that going. God is worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, you are worthy, God. You are crowned in sovereignty, God. Have your way in this place, God. Be magnified, be glorified, be exalted, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for your presence in this place, God. Lord, you are worthy to be exalted, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God bless the church. Anybody thankful to be in the house of God today? Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. He's an awesome God.
Yes, he is.
He's doing a great work.
Yes.
He's doing a new thing.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. God, hallelujah. God is good. It's a blessing to be here. And I give honor to Pastor and Sister Pinero. Thankful for their leadership. You know, it's not an easy task. It's a tall task in this hour, right? To lead a church in this hour. It's high time. Hallelujah, Jesus. But God is good and thankful for their leadership. I give honor to where honor is due. Thankful. Give God all the glory and praise. Give honor to Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
I remember being just a little boy, 9 years old, when the church was that way. I remember Elder Woosley praying for me and just I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. So you never know what God will do even at a young age. Then again, he caught me at age 18. God is good. I'm thankful for that work. Go to the word of the Lord today for this midweek Bible study. Go to Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. The book of Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. When you have it, say amen. Anybody got it?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Daniel 11, verse 32, it says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits."
Hallelujah.
There's something about knowing God.
It is.
One God.
Yeah.
The beginning and the ending. The Alpha and the Omega. The first and the last. The author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen.
Amen.
If we could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. The word of the Lord in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is a very familiar passage of scripture. It's one of my favorite. It keeps me going. Hallelujah. In verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But as it is written," we ain't seen nothing yet.
Not yet.
"The eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Hallelujah. See our key here, knowing God and loving God. Amen. We can come before the Lord. Lord, we give you glory. We give you praise. Lord, thank you for your presence in this house, God. Help me to get out of the way, God. To speak to your people, God. Heal, God. Release, God. Healing in this place, God. Do a work, God. Manifest in this place, God. Let your spirit operate in this place, God. Take your liberty, God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We serve an awesome God.
Yes, we do.
We look back throughout history and throughout time, and perhaps we get a little encouraged by reading about throughout the Bible and the Old Testament and the New Testament and reading about those that have come before us. And I love what the internationally renowned 19th century evangelist D.L. Moody talked about in The Untold Possibilities of a Man of Faith. The Untold Possibilities of a Man of Faith. There's going to be some stuff in the atmosphere tonight, and there's a catching atmosphere tonight, so reach up and grab it tonight. But he talks about in The Untold Possibilities of a Man of Faith, he said, and this is convicting because when you think about all that has come before us, it says the world has yet to see what God could do with the man who would let him use him.
Right.
Something powerful about that. Something powerful about that. How many of you want to let God have his way?
Amen.
I want to let God have his way. Amen. Psalms 145, verse 4, it says, and we got to take a little bit of time and stir up the gift tonight and just put ourselves in remembrance. Psalm 145 and 4 says, "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts." One generation shall praise thy works to another. Verse 10 of Psalm 145 says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. Psalm 145, verse 10, and your saints shall bless thee. There's just something about the name of Jesus, just something about being in position and posture to say, Lord, I give you my all. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless thee. Verse 11 says, of Psalm 145, it says, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So if God's doing something, I want to be a part of it. Amen?
Amen.
If he's doing something in this hour, I want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
I want to speak of the glory of that kingdom, of his kingdom, and talk of his power. Verse 13 says, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. So there is a question that is posed. Question that is posed in Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, in verse 32, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 32, it says, there's a question that is posed. It says, for ask now. I have a little bit of scripture tonight, but God's going to do a work. For ask now of the days that are past. So here's a question being posed, which were before thee since the day that God created man upon the earth. And ask from the one side of heaven unto the other side of heaven whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is or hath been heard like it. So there's a question posed. Ask from that side of heaven to that side of heaven if there's ever been what God has done. And here they're speaking to the children of Israel. And so in verse 33, it said, did ever a people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard? And it's not just speaking to the children of Israel who were brought out of Egypt, and not just speaking there, but it's speaking to us. It's speaking to us. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard, as you has heard, as you have heard, and I have heard and live? Verse 34 says, or has God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? So what this tells me is God moved for the children of Israel. He's moving for you and I. And if we're going to come out of Egypt, there's going to be signs and wonders. There's going to be a warring. There's going to be a mighty hand. There's going to be a stretched out arm, great tears, according to all that the Lord wants to do before our eyes.
Yeah.
In verse 35, it says, unto thee, unto you it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, and there is none else besides him. Verse 36 says, out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed you his great fire, and you heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. So here we have a question, and I want to declare the works of the Lord. I want to be a part of that declares, that speaks of his glory of his kingdom, and talks of his power from one generation to another generation, from faith to faith, from one side of heaven to the other side of heaven, and speak of his everlasting kingdom and his dominion that endureth throughout all generations, and even this generation that shall see the coming of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So who are we tonight? We looked in history, we looked in the Bible, and we see here a calling to remembrance of what God has done. But who are we? Who are we tonight is a key question. I'm here to say that we are not a mistake.
Right.
We are not forsaken.
No.
We are not forgotten.
Nope.
We are the New Testament church.
Yeah.
We are the Acts 29 church, the next chapter of the book of Acts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to stand to declare it that we are the most powerful force on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
We are called to be salt and light, to minister, to reach a dying and a lost world. We are grafted into a lively hope. Grafted means to be plugged in. It means to be open. We are grafted into a lively hope, partakers of a goodly heritage. The Bible says a goodly heritage. It's our heritage that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. No weapon that is formed shall prosper. That is my goodly heritage. The Bible also talks about us having access to a better covenant. And so, RT, we are part of the greater dispensation and better promises. The Bible also talks about better promises. We are next in line. I'm here to help us remember who we are and to help us stir up the gift and get a hold of it, because it's time for possession.
Amen.
It's time for substance. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There is something about grabbing a hold of the substance.
Yeah.
The substance of things hoped for and hoping until the end. There's just something about the stirring of faith. That now faith, in the midst of my trial, in the midst of my affliction, in the midst of my trouble and tribulation, that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if you get a hold of substance, you have the faith that you need. God has given us all the measure of faith. You are a chosen generation. So one generation shall declare his works to another generation. But here's the key. We are the New Testament church called to this hour, called to this city, called to where God is taking us and leading us. But we are a chosen generation. We are a chosen for this hour.
Yeah.
We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, yeah, that we should show forth the praises of him, that we should show forth some signs. We should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hebrews 12, verse 22, Hebrews 12 says, but ye are come. So who are we and where are we is another question. Who are we and where are we? But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, a place of victory, a place high and lifted up, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. And there's something about the word of God where it says that there's things that the angels desire to look into. We don't know who we are and who is watching. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So there's something about looking unto Jesus. We got to get our eyes on the prize.
Yeah.
We got to get our eyes on he who is high and lifted up.
Yeah.
We got to, no matter what's going on around us or where we may find ourselves, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher,
amen,
of our faith. Verse 3 says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. This is the battle that we face, church, is the battle of the mind.
Yes.
It's going to hit us all. It hits us all, from the least of these to whoever we may be. We cannot be wearied and faint in our minds. So
right.
Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing. But here's,
yep,
the key. We can look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith,
right,
and we can be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Some of you have a testimony that you're still holding on because you know in the trial and tribulation that he begun a good work, he's going to perfect it. The word perform there means perfect. So whatever he's doing with you and whatever he's doing with me, it's a perfect work, and he's not done yet. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. Amen?
Amen.
He's going to perform it, and we got to be confident. We got to have Godvidence. I love what they say. We got to have Godvidence, confidence in God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, wherefore, and here's the key, is that there's a battle. There's a battle. It's not easy. It's not easy in this hour to walk with the footmen. It's not easy. We get wearied and faint in our minds, but we can be confident that he which has begun a good work will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober, and hope to the end.
Yeah.
Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
So hope to the end. Yes, the battle is real.
Mm-hmm.
The trial may be real. The circumstance may be real. But God is going to finish and do a work.
Right.
He's
right.
The finisher of our faith, the author and the finisher of our faith. So I just want to lay on the table and be like, Lord, have your way. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to be like, you're the man, you're with the master plan, God. Have your way.
Yeah.
You're the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me and shape me, God, for your,
yeah,
glory.
Yeah. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you the glory, God.
Yes.
So we got to understand who we are and understand where we are.
Right.
And church, I fought for this. I'm on assignment tonight, and I don't want to bring attention to myself, but there is something here that God wants to impart tonight. And it's understanding who we are, a reminder of who we are. And God said to remember who you are. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Remember who you are. And we got to understand where we are.
Yeah.
Where we are. And so in Psalms chapter 84, verse 10, in Psalms chapter 84, verse 10, it says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness."
Right.
Any doorkeepers in the house?
Amen.
Any doorkeepers online? Type hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. God is good. You are positioned. We are on the doorstep. We are at the threshold. We are standing at the threshold.
Yes.
So when you look at doorkeeper, we'll keep that scripture there. "For a day in that courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper." You look at the word doorkeeper and you study this, it means, it's the word there is safat, which means to stand at or guard the threshold.
Yeah.
The Amplified Version says, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand anywhere else. I would rather stand as a doorkeeper at the threshold of the house of my God than to live at ease in the tents of wickedness." Church, we are standing at the edge of destiny.
Yes, we are.
There is something pressing and pushing and moving, and that's why God wants us to weep, right?
Right.
Hallelujah. Yeah. That's why God wants us to weep. That's why God says, "Remember not the former things, but I'm going to do a new thing." And we are standing at the edge of the new thing. We have to reach for it and allow God to do it.
Amen.
We are standing at the edge of destiny and a place of possession and prophetic promise. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I'd like to help us understand where we're at tonight. So if we go to Genesis chapter 28, this may be new, but this is a revelation. This is tremendous revelation. And I pray that you write these scriptures down and you come back to it and you simmer on it and you chew on it. It's good.
Amen.
In Genesis chapter 28, starting at verse 12. And here we have Jacob. And Jacob went from, here the setting is Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. In verse 12, and he dreamed a dream. He dreamed. And behold, so here's the first behold. So whenever there's a behold, there's something to take note of.
Okay.
If there's a behold, there's something to draw our attention to. So notice there are a couple of beholds here, but just For our attention and understanding is to look at the word behold and behold a ladder set up on the earth. So here we have access, an access point to heaven. Here we have a pathway to the moving and the working of God. Amen? So, and behold a ladder set up on the earth and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, here's the second behold. So the first one was a pathway, an access point. And the second behold is here. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending. Ascending and descending. So we have the ability to send our prayers up. And what we see is the performance. Here we see the moving and the working. Here's what Jacob saw, as he said, "And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon this place," this ladder, this access point to heaven. As you see performance, you see a working, you see something. I want to see angels. I want to see what God is doing in the supernatural and in the spirit.
Right.
I want to see what God is doing in this hour. I want to see, I don't want to just know about the access point, but I want to be a part of it. I want to be able to see what's happening in the spirit. Hallelujah. And so there's angels of God ascending and descending. And then the third behold, and behold, there's just something about being in that connection point where heaven touches earth. And says in verse 13, "And behold, the Lord stood above it." Who's standing above it? The Lord stood above it. God Almighty stood above it. The I am that I am.
Yeah.
And said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land where thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed." The land is ours. The land is ours. So here we see, we have another behold. Is the Lord is with us. He's there. His presence is with us. He says, "And behold, the Lord stood over it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land where you lie, to thee will I give it and to thy seed." Then in verse 14, it says, "And your seed and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south." This is everywhere. And you're going to spread abroad everywhere. You're going to multiply. What I take away from this scripture is multiplication.
Amen.
You're going to spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Here's the promise, right? Here's the promise. Here's the promise that they're partaking of. And so here's multiplication. And in verse 15, here we have another promise. And behold, another thing to draw our attention to is I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee. So he's not only with us, he's not going to leave us. He's going to finish the work. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's going to take us to where he wants us to go. He's going to enable us to do a good work, and he's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's going to be right with us in the face of Sanballat and Tobiah. He's going to be right with us to help us finish the work.
Amen.
So he says, and I will be with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Anybody thankful that God always keeps his promises?
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thankful for him being a promise keeper. He's a promise keeper to me.
Yeah.
He's a promise keeper. Amen. And so Jacob awaked out of his sleep in verse 16. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And in verse 17, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So here we see an access point. We see a mighty working. We see the angels. We see God's presence and promise and God doing his doing the work that he said he was going to do. His word will not return into him void. So if you have a word or if he's given you a word, get ready. Amen?
Amen.
Get ready. And so here we have an access point, the gate of heaven. It is the God's will. He's given us the keys to the kingdom because in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, here's like another reminder that he's given us the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you shall loose shall be loosed. Whatever you shall bind shall be bound in earth. Whatever you bind in earth will be bound in heaven. But in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, it says, fear not, little flock.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I just love that. We got to be like kids sometimes. We got to be like kids in the presence of God and just say, Lord, have your way, God. I'm a little flock, God. You're a mighty God. You are high and lifted up, Lord. He says, fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
In Isaiah 65 and verse 9, he says, and I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. An inheritor of my mountains, and my elect shall inherit it. So we're talking tonight about standing at the threshold of inheritance and possession and possessing and calling out what is rightfully ours.
Yeah.
Territories and nations in the spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody hungry for that?
Yes.
It says, and I will bring forth the seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, a place out of wrestling with God and a praise and prayer unto God. Jacob, a wrestler, a clinger, a wrestler, and Judah, praise. In Job chapter 8, verse 7, it says, though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. Doesn't matter who you are or where you've been or where you're at, what's going to happen next, you're headed, your latter end should greatly increase. I believe in that promise. How many believe that the glory of the latter house will be greater than of the former?
Amen.
The glory of the latter house shall be greater than of the former. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21, it says, behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and just let it be.
Possess it.
Aha.
Say it again.
Possess.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Anybody want to possess the land?
Amen.
Why don't we lift our hands and just reach for it right now? There's just something in the atmosphere. There is something that God wants to do tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you praise, God. We want to go up, Lord, and possess it, God. In your mighty name, Jesus, Lord. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of your fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. That's easier said than done unless you're in a circumstance or a situation.
Right.
And you're like people next to you that you love the most are telling you, you're a lost cause. You're a lost cause. There's something there where you could get a hold of that fear not and have faith in the fear not.
Yeah.
and live in the faith lane that says, you know what, God is on my side. He's not going to leave me. He's never forsaken me. He's never lost a battle. Fear not, neither be discouraged. That's how we overcome the pressures and the mental battle and the struggle and the trial and the tribulation and how we get through the Tuesday pout. So in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3, so here we have a call to possess it. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. And in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3, here's the cry that I hear. I hear this, and I feel like God is calling us, calling me, calling us, and telling us that we have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Turn you northward. We must move. So we've talked about tonight about being the access point by being able to connect to the gate of heaven and where the angels are ascending and descending and where there's the house of God. And so we got to move beyond that place. It's really important. We've been in that place. We know how to be in the presence of God and where the fire will fall and where heaven touches earth. We know what it's like to be in the presence of God, the all-consuming presence of God. We know what it's like to be at the entry point of promise and prophecy and spoken word over this church and to this church and to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us have prophetic utterances that somebody and either God himself has instilled and has given us. There are some promises and we must go beyond the place of the entry gate and the prophetic, into the prophetic, into the promise. We must press into the kingdom and move beyond our inheritance, beyond legacy and birthright, beyond tradition and comfort, and reach into what God wants to do in this hour.
Yeah.
If he's never had a man that's fully been yielded, I want to be that person. I want to be that person that God says, you know what? There's availability. There's humility. There is somebody that I can use. I want to press into the kingdom. We got to move beyond inheritance, beyond legacy and birthright, beyond tradition and comfort.
Yeah.
And we must recognize that our enemy wants to immobilize us.
Yeah.
Our enemy wants to immobilize us with fear and hesitation and trepidation. Our enemy wants to with offense. He wants to immobilize us. That's how important this is. That's how important it is to recognize where we're standing, where we're going, and what we need to enter into. That's how important this is. The enemy wants to immobilize us, because if he could keep us immobilized, he got us right where he wants us. Because we're not yielded and God can't do a work through us and in us. But here's the deal. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're at. God will use you to speak to somebody because he loves other people. He loves this world so much that he'll use whatever he wants, whatever he needs to use to reach this world. So I want to make myself available. Amen. It's time to possess what is rightfully ours. The kingdom of God suffereth violence and the violent take it by force. Do we know the hour that we are in?
Come on.
It's high time to awake out of sleep. I'm not saying that we're sleeping, but it's high time to awake out of sleep and recognize that it's high time, it's nighttime. What is happening in this world and the travesties, there's a world without hope, and we have the hope.
Yes, we do.
And we got to recognize we have to possess what is ours and take it by force. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force.
Amen.
We have to step into the dimension of promise. The dimension of greater, into dimension and dominion. We have to step into dimension and dominion. We have to pursue the promise. We have to pursue the promise. We must pursue what is beyond tradition and comfort into what God has promised. I love what Brother Arnold said. He says, we can't possess what we refuse to pursue. We can't possess what we refuse to pursue. We got to be like Moses and say, I pray thee, let me go over, God. Let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, the goodly mountain, that Lebanon. Lord, let me go over and see the good land. Let me connect, Lord, to what's been released in the atmosphere. Let me connect, Lord, because opposition is on its way, God. We are under an onslaught, God. Opposition is all around us, God. Help us to connect to what's been released and why the enemy is reactionary, God, and has no creative power, God. Help us to connect, God, to what's been released and what is in the atmosphere here tonight, God. Help us, God, to see, God. Let me go over and see it, God. Let me see the good land that is beyond Jordan, God. Like Moses, we got to cry out. And like Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, like Caleb, we have to take a hold of our inheritance and what is rightfully ours. We have to take a hold of our Hebron. So in Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, it says, now therefore, this is Caleb, Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. The giants were there. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Again, here's a call to remembrance that the Lord is going to keep his word. Amen. Whatever he said, he's going to perform. Whatever he's promised, he's going to do. I want to possess what is rightfully mine, my inheritance, my land. I don't want to wait. Hey, I don't want to wait 40 years. I'm a older. I've turned 40. I don't want to wait another 40 years. I've lived my 40 years. I want to possess my inheritance. I want to possess what is rightfully mine. This thing is about to break loose, church. I don't know if you got a hold of it, but this thing is about to break loose. You have no idea what we're about to connect to. It's been released, and unless we respond, we will not partake in what's been promised. We have to respond. The measure of our response will determine the measure of our inheritance. How we respond will determine the measure of our inheritance. And in verse 13, Joshua said, all right, and blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. It was a highly coveted location. Hebron was the dwelling place of the patriarchs. It was the place of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, the land of Canaan, the promised land. It was the city belonging to priests. It was a city of refuge. Hebron was a royal city. It was the metropolis of the kingdom of Judah. It was a place where King David reigned 7 years. It was a place of association. Hebron means association and joining. So I want to be like Caleb, and I want to connect to the prophetic. I want to connect to the patriarchs, what has come before me. We're talking about the kingdom of God. I want to connect. I want to be joined to it. That's why Caleb was no fool. He said, give me this mountain. He said, of all the inheritance and all the land, this mountain, give me the Central Coast, give me the Santa Maria Valley, give me Santa Maria, give me Napomo, give me what is rightfully ours.
Right.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, it says, we talk about and we read about Caleb and Joshua, and they entered in. And then we talk and we read about all the miracles and the things that have taken place in the Old Testament. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, it says, and these all, this is New Testament, and these all, after going through the roll call of faith, or going through people who were stoned and set asunder, and people who were shipwrecked, and people like Gideon and Moses and Noah and others, and Deborah, after talking about all these, it says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Verse 40, God having provided some better thing for who?
Us.
For you and I. God has provided some better thing for us that we read about in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that they without us, here's what the word of God is saying, is that they without us should not be made perfect. So what God is doing in this hour is a perfect work.
Amen.
It's a perfect work. Hallelujah. God fought for Israel. He's going to fight for you and I.
Amen.
And when Joshua took out, and when Joshua possessed and wiped out all the Anakim, and they're talking about giants in the land of the Philistines in Joshua chapter 11, verse 22. Joshua chapter 11, verse 22, it says, and there was none of the Anakim, none of the giants left in the land of the people of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod. And it was Caleb with the we are well able belief who drove out the three sons of Anak. Here it was Caleb who drove out the giants. There's going to be battles. There's going to be giants. We're going to have to deal with some giants. We're going to have to possess the land. And here Caleb wiped him out. He wiped him out. The three sons of Anak are those who were mentioned in Numbers 13 and 22. So it is of note that the giant Goliath was from Gath. The giant Goliath was from Gath. So here, years after Joshua and Caleb conquered and were in the conquest and going into the promised land and dealing with those giants, there were still some giants. There were still some giants in the land. And this was generations later. Generations later, King David, before he became king, cut off the head of Goliath. And so there were giants in the land during the time of conquest, and Joshua is even said to have devoted those giants. Joshua, well before King David, the next generation, it was Joshua who even said to have demoted them to devoted them to destruction. However, it was David and his men who finished the conquest of the giants. So here's the key that we got to recognize from what Caleb and Joshua did, and they dedicated the sons of Anak to destruction. But then there were still giants in the land. Why, Lord, did you allow him to leave giants in the land? Why did you allow giants to remain in the land, in this land, in our land, and in the land in the time of King David? Well, here's the answer. God left a remnant to teach the next generation how to war and experience the sweet taste of victory. So who are our giants and who are we called to conquer? As I quickly come to a close. Who are our giants as we enter into the promised land? Who are our giants? In 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 5, in 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 5, we have the Philistines, and Elhanan, the son of Jair, slew Lami, which means my bread. Mm-hmm. This was the brother of Goliath. Mm-hmm. We have to overcome our flesh. In 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 4, this is a revelation right here. It says, and it came to pass after this that there arose war at Gezer with the Philistines, at which time Sibekai the Hushathite slew Sipai. Sipai was a giant in the land, and these were Sibekai. These were mighty men of valor, King David. And they slew a giant named Sipai. Sipai means threshold. This is how important this is to recognize that we are standing at the threshold. It was the children of the giant. God wants us to finish, as I quickly come to a close, as the musicians would come, please. God wants us to finish. God just doesn't want us to take us out. He doesn't want us to just move into the promised land. He doesn't just want us to conquer. He doesn't just want us to move and recognize where we're at. He wants us to recognize that we're about to get out of here. We're about to jet out of here. Right. God wants us to spoil the Egyptians. And here's the question that is being posed tonight. If we're about to jet out of here, if we're about to have our exodus, what do you want to take with you? What do you want to take with you? What are you fighting for? What do you want to take with you as we stand tonight? Hallelujah, Jesus. God wants us to finish. God wants to use this church for a specific work. He doesn't just want to take us out. He wants us to conquer. And we're going to conquer. We're going to take nations. We're going to slay giants. We're going to achieve great victories. And in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, here's the promise that Jesus himself spoke. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Because I go unto my Father. So the question that was most pressing on me, if you hear anything tonight, is if God is about to take us out of here, and if we're about to spoil the Egyptians, and we can have what is rightfully ours, whatever we speak to, whatever we decree, we can have it. But what do we want to take with us? What do we want to take with us? What children do we want to take with us? What child in addiction do we want to take with us? What sibling in addiction? Who do we want to take with us? Perhaps the Starbucks barista. Who do we want to take with us? Who do we want to take with us on our job, in our places of influence? Who do we want to take with us? This is what God is asking tonight. What do you want to take with you? And what are you fighting for? What are you fighting for in this hour? Mm-hmm.